For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
If you've ever wanted real energy without choking down something that tastes like regret, Bucked Up is the answer. The flavor is the thing people keep coming back for. Insanely delicious, which is not a phrase usually associated with energy drinks, and they're built on real, science-backed ingredients. Clean energy that actually works without the garbage you don't want. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
Chazen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold and enjoy this conversation we're about to have, because our favorite is here in the house here in Los Angeles, California. In a couple of hours, you'll see him on the NBA Today. Across the family of networks, the man whose Hoop Collective podcast is a must listen to, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Windhorst.
Sir,
thank you.
Here in studio. Great to
always
see you, man.
Always happy to come in. It's so much fun to be here.
Awesome, good to have you here. What's your opinion of what we saw last night, Brian?
Man, I got to tell you, I enjoyed that Spurs Minnesota game so much. I really appreciated. First off, I did not know 2 days ago that Ant was going to be ready to play.
How about that?
You know, we're in the information business. We're supposed to be checking on these type of things.
Yeah.
That flew under our radar. When he popped up on the injury report on Sunday as questionable, those of us in the information business actually thought that they were doing it as subterfuge. Like, well, he can't actually be questionable. Like, you would do that, like, just to get San Antonio in their heads a little bit. And then not only does he play, but he has a very impactful game. But the mental discipline that it took to play this game for the Wolves, and what I mean by that is Victor blocked 12 shots. That's amazing. And if you watch the game, I compared it this morning to trying to get to LaGuardia in a taxi during the UN General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
You turn down this avenue, nope. Turn down this side street, nope. You're just like looking for all these ways. That's what was happening with them. They would drive here, he's in the way. They would come over this way, nope, he's in the way. Let's keep going up. He blocks our shot, nope. Mm-hmm. And they never let down. So he blocked 12 shots. I went and looked this up. Five of them they got back. Okay, they retained possession.
Yes.
Twice they got fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Once free throws. Twice they got baskets. So, and they split the free throws, and one of them was a three. There was a three-pointer, actually, in the fourth quarter. Mike Conley hit it. So they generated, after Wembanyama blocks, 6 points in a game they won by two. And that, to me, even though there's a lot of other stuff going on, that, to me, illustrates the approach that you have to have against a player like this. And whether they can keep that mental edge when he does it to you for two straight weeks, I don't know. But I was so impressed with Minnesota.
So to complete your analogy, they did make it to LaGuardia.
They did.
And the countries blocking them from the General Assembly were all French-speaking, pretty much.
Beautifully done, yes.
Pretty much.
Tahiti.
There you go.
Tahiti was there.
Oh, I didn't ask you.
Guadeloupe.
Look at him naming them.
Oh, wow.
Wow, this is impressive.
Because during the—
France.
Because during the Olympics—
Yes.
They had all the French— they got all the police from all French-speaking nations and had them do traffic. So, like, you could have been in Paris, like, getting waved through the Champs-Élysées, and you stopped and said, hey, how do we get to the Eiffel Tower? And they were like, I do not know. I am from Haiti.
Oh!
Or I am from Montreal.
There you go.
And, but that's what they did. So I learned all of the French-speaking countries.
So if we find out Edwards is playing after flying under the radar, how do we not know if Luka is flying under your radar right now?
Well, first off, he's listed as out.
Okay.
But that's a fair question.
Thank
if
you,
your
sir.
Point is the Lakers kept it under wraps. Now, from my information, and, you know, very clearly it may not be pure.
Okay.
I don't think Luka has begun recovery conditioning yet. Because
at
when
all,
you're out, well, at all is going to be relative. I mean, maybe he has, but mm-hmm. when you're out a month, you have a procedure you had to build back up to.
Right.
And I don't think, like Austin Reeves was building up, and we, you know, there was, you know, incremental updates. And I know we see Luka shooting, and it's possible he's doing it and they're just not telling. But, you know, it's a pretty severe hamstring injury. And, you know, I'm a I'm a big actions over words guy.
Yes, you are.
When Luka got hurt,
mm-hmm.
they sent Luka went to Spain for treatment. Have you ever heard of someone? I mean, I've heard of going to Germany.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've never heard of going to Spain. Now, okay. Luka also has a newborn mm-hmm. who is in Slovenia. And so I certainly think if he had an opportunity to go and get some time off,
mm-hmm.
go to Slovenia and see your newborn child.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Madrid in the off season, you know. And I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying, like, when they sent him overseas,
mm-hmm.
that was not an indication of a minor hamstring injury.
Right.
That was like, you're not going to be doing anything for a few weeks anyway, so
yeah, take some time.
Go ahead and go to Europe because you came back 48 hours after your child was born in the middle of the season. Go to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that happened, I was like, this does not sound like a small hamstring injury. And so that is unfortunately what it looks like is going on.
So what is the time frame, do you think, right now? I know it might not matter if the time frame lasts longer than a certain series against a certain wagon of
right.
a team that won the championship last year.
But. So I think the Lakers are probably in wait-and-see mode. If they go to Oklahoma City and they get walloped in two games,
mm-hmm.
that'll inform their process. And if they go to OKC and they split, mm-hmm. or they look like, wait a minute, we might have a formula here, that might inform the process. But, you know, I've watched guys come back early from hamstring injuries and
no bueno.
It can sometimes be tough. And like, look, if it, you know, they said it was a grade two sprain, a grade two strain.
Yes.
And that's 4 to 6 weeks. It's been four.
Yes.
So 6 weeks is maybe the end of the season. So even if he came back in 2 weeks, that would not be out of line for grade two. Like, they didn't say it was a minor strain. They announced grade two.
So cycling back again to the Timberwolves win, Chris Finch, you mentioned you broke down all the blocks, right? Chris Finch made it seem like not all the blocks were legitimate blocks.
That's correct.
I mean, I just love the way coaches work refs from, like, straight out of the Phil Jackson playbook, you know, just drop a little breadcrumb here or there from the podium. Him just saying, yeah, some of them were goaltends, you know.
Yes.
And are they sending video to
I don't know if
New York City now or what?
You know, I've never heard of a team sending a block to New York City. Normally it's like, you know, contact or screens.
Well, this guy just blocked 12. I mean, he joined the stat that I have written down here. He joined Andrew Bynum and Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Olajuwon is the only guys with a triple-double involving blocks in a playoff.
So it's interesting. In the last round, you remember they played Denver,
yeah.
and Finch, don't hold me whether it was after game one or after game two.
Sure.
He complained about officiating then,
mm-hmm.
What it was on Jokic or on, and I don't remember what it was on.
Yeah.
And the next game, there was mild improvement in the balance. And so, you know, I'm not saying that it matters. I'm just saying that Chris Finch has been around for a long time.
And I picked up on that last night. Just, yeah, you know, just a throwaway talking about the blocks and that some of them were goaltends.
I always think of this story. 2 years ago, the Pacers played the Knicks
mm-hmm.
in the first round. It was the year that the Pacers won in seven. In game seven, they beat them. It was in the second round. And Rick Carlisle basically, I think, stayed up all night or very close to all night after game two and produced with his video staff, like, I don't remember what it was, 47 clips that they sent to the league office, like stayed up, like working through the night and to provide the league office with the clips. And they were down 0-2 in the series, but, you know, they came back and won. And, you know, Rick Carlisle, he's been around a little while. He knows how to work a playoff series, and it looks like Chris Finch might have some of that too.
It happens. You know what I mean? And in terms of, I got Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned the Knicks. And the last time you were on, you were talking about how Mike Brown's starting to turn, or at least was focusing on turning Karl-Anthony Towns into a point center. Well, if that's a newfangled thing or something, there's a new emphasis or whatever, boy, did that put a light on. I mean, what a run the Knicks have been on, albeit against Atlanta and a Sixers team that might have been on fumes after a game seven. But have the Knicks figured something out, do you think, here?
Two Fridays ago, so they played on a Thursday in Atlanta, game three. They lost that game. Yeah. It was one of their one-point losses. Remember, they had back-to-back one-point losses,
yes,
where they came down to the final position, neither went their way. I wish I could tell you what happened in this team meeting, but they had a team meet, and that wasn't like everybody. I mean, they, of course, they have a team meeting. It's an off day of a playoff. I don't know what happened on that day, but that day when they showed up for game four, they dominated the first whole half of game four, and they have not looked like the same team. In fact, you talk to people in Atlanta, and they say, holy hell, the team that we played in games four, five, and six were nothing like the team that we played in game one, two, and three. You talk to people in Atlanta, and they're like, you know, we're up 2-1, and we realize we won two games at last-second shots. Like, we could have easily been down 3-0, but, like, we thought, you know, we are right with this team. Like, we might take this thing to seven, you know, toss up. And then they got bashed across the bridge of the nose the next three games. And they're like, where did this come from? And they carried it right over into last night. The energy with their movement, their teamwork, their, you know, they came out in the first quarter with a game plan against Joel Embiid. And that was to put him in pick and roll, which is a common strategy against him. Mm-hmm. And to, whenever they got the ball in transition, when they got the ball, to go to the basket as fast as they could, don't let Embiid get back. In the first quarter alone, Bridges got a driving dunk where he just beat Embiid back, and Towns got one where he got the ball, and Embiid was just like turning his body to look. And as soon as Towns got it, he went right to the basket and dunked, and he ran right by Towns. Like, the Knicks were moving faster, totally showing that they had a game plan and they were executing it. And look, they made a lot of shots last night. So you're going to look good if you're running actions that generate made shots as opposed to just open shots. But they are playing with such a purpose and a focus on offense right now that it's starting to make you wonder. Now, I will say that this entire East, mm-hmm, is all flawed teams. They're all flawed. And so I could be sitting here a week from now and we go, well, what happened to that Knicks team from game one? Like, why haven't we seen that team again? That's very possible, but I am extremely impressed. And more than me, forget about me. When I talk to coaches and scouts, they're like, a beast has awakened here. Like, is this who they're going to be now? So the answer might be yes. This isn't a team that played this way for 3 months. So it's hard to believe in it. You know, they had a run like in midseason where they went 2-9.
Right.
And that's why they're the three seed and not the one seed or two seed.
They couldn't beat Detroit either in
right.
the regular season. And that may be who they're facing. I mean, Mike Brown, after the game, I found this quote while you were talking. Quote, it's a lot of fun when you have concepts on either end of the floor and the guys are trying to embrace those concepts at the highest level. And when they do, it doesn't really matter what you call or who initiates the action because guys are trying to play the right way. It seems like whatever he's been preaching is now being practiced and executed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to find out. What is it?
Well, they're making shots, which really helps. When
63%.
Brunson, yeah, when Brunson comes off a screen and Embiid stays back
right.
and Brunson attacks that screen and he hits the first four of them, everybody looks good. The coach looks good. The screener looks good. Brunson looks good. The popcorn vendor looks good.
Right.
So the real question in the NBA playoffs is what your margin for error is. What can you get away with winning a game when you've got your C-plus game,
right.
not when you have your fastball? And that the Knicks haven't shown that yet. But what they have shown is that their fastball, you can't touch. And if they keep throwing this, they could get to the finals. Like, the pathway is there for them. And, you know, this Detroit series, I know Detroit has been installed as a minor favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I get people asking me about this last couple of days. They're like, well, how is this series going to go? And sometimes the responsible answer is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody is expected to make a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
They're told, no, you must tell me, is it in four, five, or six, or seven? And sometimes you don't know. So I don't know what's going to happen in that series.
Yes.
But the Knicks, if they can avoid Detroit, like potentially could, you know, Detroit, they would not have home court advantage, a team that's had great success against them.
Correct.
Maybe it's Cleveland. and maybe that's a team that they match up better with. Like it is, you know, a lot of things have fallen in a way that set the table. But I just want to point out the Knicks have won five playoff games. They need to win 12 to get out of the East and 16. So this is one thing that we say that the championship or the East is not decided the first week of May.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's on the NBA today at 3 Eastern time, noon out here on the West Coast. Let's take a break. I'd love to come back and talk about some of the aftermath of some of the teams that have been eliminated, including the Boston Celtics. For the moment, just want to let you know, a SoFi personal loan is here to help you achieve something once thought impossible, overcoming high-interest credit card debt. Walk the tightrope of your finances right now with one low fixed-rate monthly payment, no fees required, and as soon as the same-day funding. That's right. Pull off your own debt-defying stunt with a SoFi personal loan. Visit SoFi.com/trick to learn more. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Brian Windhorst in studio. You where you are. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a jiff.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app and share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates. Rich Eisen here. You ever notice what happens when something big rolls into your city? A major tournament, a can't-miss concert, a high-stakes playoff game. Suddenly, fans are everywhere. Feels like everyone's trying to get in. Streets are packed. Hotels book up fast. And finding a place to stay? Not so easy. That's exactly why this can be a smart moment to think about your own space. If you're planning to be away, you can list your space on Airbnb while all of that's going on and earn some extra cash at the same time. You're not changing your routine. You're just making the most of the moment. From my years on the road, I can tell you what people are looking for during these big events. A comfortable home base. Something that feels like their own space in the middle of all the action. And when options are limited, places like yours could really stand out. So if you've ever thought about listing your space, this is a great time to give it a shot. When your city is at its busiest, your home could be exactly what someone is looking for. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Because this is the last, Brian Windhorst, by the way, our radio audience return is still here. So this is the last lottery as we know it?
Yes, very likely.
Formula? Okay.
So there's all of these trades and things that have happened. So obviously people know the lottery because these are good players in this draft, potential franchise players.
Yes.
But there is, like, if you're a fan of the LA Clippers, you are either going to walk out of the lottery on Sunday with the fifth pick or nothing.
Nothing else.
That's right.
All right, I'll bite. I'm sure it involves Oklahoma City somehow.
It does not.
Oh, that's weird.
They made a trade.
Okay.
They made a trade with at the trade deadline with Indiana. And Indiana gets to keep the pick if it's in the top four. And if it goes 5 through 9, which, you know, it goes to Clippers. And if it's 10th, well, it's not going to be 10th.
Okay. But
The Clippers only get it if it falls 5 through 9.
That's it. It's like a rangefinder.
Well, the Pacers have top four odds. They have the same odds as the other teams.
Yes.
They have a 52% chance of falling in the top four. So that means if they get passed by four teams, which, by the way, happened last year to the Jazz and Wizards, we're not talking about something that we've never seen. It's 50-50.
Right.
So it's 52% chance that they remain in the top four.
Yes.
48% chance the Clippers get the fifth pick. Now you think about this. Mm-hmm. You get the fifth pick in this draft. You could draft a new franchise cornerstone,
mm-hmm.
or you have nothing. And by the way, I'd like to point out, their pick is in the lottery, but it's owned by the Thunder.
Yeah, the Thunder.
And I just
there we go. Now I knew there was.
And I just looked.
Yes.
At who's going to be in the room. I'm going to go. I'm going to be in the room this year.
Here we go.
Where they actually draw the balls.
Uh-huh.
Not the television show. Okay. Where they actually draw the balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Sam Presti, it's important enough that Sam Presti, the president of the Thunder, while his series is going on with the Lakers, is scheduled,
mm-hmm.
don't know for sure, but is scheduled to be in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens if the Thunder pull a top four pick? Can you imagine that? Okay. And also,
I mean,
the Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks have the New Orleans Hornets pick.
Yes.
Or the Bucks pick, whichever.
Yeah.
They can have optionality. The Hawks were just in the playoffs. Like, I realize that, you know, they're not on the verge of a title, but what happens if the Hawks end up with the third pick? They could have this team plus the third pick.
This makes
crazy.
It's so difficult.
But
to
we know what's going
to
happen, Brian. The Warriors are going to get the first pick.
The Warriors are in the game.
What's
the Mavericks
their, what's their percentage?
Are in the game.
But it's like, it's milk.
I agree,
it?
But last year.
The
I like that.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I reserve the right to steal.
Please, please. Dan Patrick calls it sampling. So you may sample.
Reject that.
Okay.
I like the milk.
Okay.
sure. The milk, I think 2% was Dallas last year. Like a Hooper flag.
It also benefits the league to have the Warriors with the top pick.
Oh, you're so
you extend,
that's not,
you extend,
take the tinfoil
you extend
hat off,
the Curry
let me tell you,
run a little
let me
bit.
Tell you when
he's
the lottery,
Butler's back.
Let me tell you the day. Let me tell you the day that all lottery conspiracies died. Okay, I'm going to tell you the day.
Please,
Ja Morant and Zaire Williams are in the lottery.
Right, and the Knicks don't get the first pick for Zaire.
Knicks and Lakers are in the top four, and the other teams are Memphis and. New Orleans.
Well, you got to throw everyone off the scent every now and then, Brian.
Okay. but here's the thing about the lottery that's so fascinating. So last year, okay?
Okay.
Last year, I realized I can't. I was like, can we have a real conversation about it? No, we can't.
No.
Okay.
No,
we'll
no,
we
can.
We
no, it's okay.
You
can.
All right. So last year, okay, the first three picks, because this is a thing, like entire billion-dollar businesses come down to this. And I'm going to just tell you about last year. Last year, the Jazz, the Wizards, and the Hornets all had the same, they all had the worst record, and they had the same chance at the top four, okay? They had all gone through horrible rebuilding years, embarrassing themselves, doing things that they got fined for, et cetera.
Right.
The first three picks come out of the draft, and it's none of them, okay? And now we are down to the last lottery spot. It's a generally believed to be a four-player draft, four exciting players. Maybe in the future it will prove that the eighth pick was a great player, but it was generally seen as a four-player draft. So now we are sitting there, and the three of them are sitting all – this is in the actual lottery room. I'm not talking about on the stage.
Right.
In the lottery room. It's the general manager of the Jazz, the general manager of the Wizards, and the owner of the Hornets. And they're all sitting there next to each other. I know you can find this on YouTube because they don't put it on TV, but this is one of the reasons I get excited about this. They pull up the first three balls, and all three of them are still in the game. They're waiting for the fourth ball. One of them is getting the fourth pick, which is Con Knipple. Okay?
Right.
And one of them, and the other two, are getting nothing. They're getting 5 and 6. They're getting, hopefully this guy develops. Go, can you put up those again?
Please, yep. The there it is.
Do you see the Wizards and Jazz still on here? The difference between the Wizards and Jazz being back in this lottery, and I granted the Hornets are there at the end, but the Hornets got in the play-in this year and had this moment where they won, and Con Knipple, they totally changed the whole direction of the franchise.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, there are other factors that come into play. I mean, they have Brandon Miller, they have LaMelo Ball. But that the difference between the misery that was the Wizards and Jazz this year, which was miserable, and the Hornets, who are regarded as one of the up-and-coming franchises in the league, was the fourth ball. And this is the thing, like this is why it's maddening and why people tank and why it's frustrating and it spurs all of this agita, because it comes down to that. Because in basketball, the difference between one player and not is the difference between having a competitive team, that you have people flying into your building, and to you have to embarrassingly lay on the ground and take your beating for another year. Mm. And so on Sunday, we have the lottery.
That's coming. That's coming. And, you know, again, mock drafts and things of that nature, whatever I'm, you know, obviously it's all subjective. But I just see that even if the Oklahoma City Thunder stick and pick at 12, I did see Jaxel Lendeborg dropping to them. and won in a couple of mock drafts, and I can attest as a Michigan guy, that is way too low for him.
And if
Yaxel Lendeborg goes to that team, look out.
I just want to say 3 years ago, this happened. Yes. They had one of the Kawhi picks, not Kawhi. It was actually for Paul George.
Right.
And
you lose track sometimes with the whole Clipper.
They still owe next year's, by the way. If they don't get this year's, they still have next year. It's a swap.
When does it end?
That's it. It ends next year.
Okay.
3 years ago, they didn't have, or maybe it was 4 years ago, they had a lottery pick, and it was the 12th pick, and it didn't move up. Rats. Mm-hmm. They got Jalen Williams.
It is laughable.
It is.
So I asked you last week when you were on about after the Nuggets got eliminated, what is happening in the Denver front offices? What is happening in the Boston front offices right now?
So Brad Stevens, he hasn't done his end of year discussion yet. As soon as I saw Jason Tatum, and I know that they said it was a knee and I can't prove that it wasn't.
Right.
But as soon as I saw Jason Tatum on the bench putting his thumb into the back of his calf, I was like, because, you know, I know that there are occasions when Achilles injuries come from nowhere.
Right.
Fortunately, it hasn't happened to me. But the people that I've talked to who've had Achilles injuries, it rarely doesn't come from anywhere. Obviously, we have these terrible instances of Durant and Halliburton where they had injuries. But sometimes they're like, yeah, you know, my Achilles was sore or my calf was sore. And one thing I wonder, and, you know, he has never said this, but I wonder, was Jason Tatum's right calf sore last year? Was his Achilles sore?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's touching that calf. And I was thinking, as soon as I saw him touching the calf, I was like, oh, man.
Look out.
And I don't blame him for one iota of a second. And so now they have to ask themselves in Boston, is this team that we have and this trio, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, if everyone all healthy, can they still compete to win championships? I think the answer is yes, but they may go through an evaluation period. The other thing is, in the NBA, one out of three on a three-point shot is considered good, acceptable, because one out of three on of a three is the same as two out of four on a two, 6 points. Okay, I'm sorry, three out of six on a two. One out of four is the same. One out of three is 33% on a two is the same as 50% on. I'm messing this all up. You understand the math.
I understand.
I clearly don't. I didn't go to Michigan. I went to Kent State.
Oh, good.
Or Northwestern. I saw you. I didn't know you went to Northwestern grad school.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
So basically, 2 3-point shots equals 3 2-point shots.
That's right.
There you go.
One out of three is just as good as two out of six.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, three out of six. So, one out of three is considered acceptable in NBA shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
Two out of five, $20 million a year, $25 million a year. You shoot 40% on threes. Boston has been on their three-point kick for 5 years now, okay? In the top three in three-point attempts for five consecutive years. Even before Joe Mazzulla got there, they were already working. Now, Mazzulla poured gas on it.
Yeah.
But for 5 years now, in two of those 5 years, they've reached the finals, 40%. This is, by NBA three-point standards, would be considered excellent. Praiseworthy. They've shot their threes for 5 years. They've gone to the finals twice. To get to the finals, they're 1-1. Pretty good. LeBron would take 500 in the finals. He would take it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you ask yourself, are you cool with that? You know, you probably got 3 or 4 years left of Tatum and Brown's prime. Hopefully nobody gets injured again. You can't predict that. Are you cool with two out of five, because that's their strategy is essentially the three-pointer. When it goes in, my God, it's glorious. When it goes out, you're like, why are you shooting it?
Mm-hmm.
They're 2 out of 5. So do they want to stick with that? Are they? I know what Joe Mazzulla feels. Mazzulla is borderline defiant. And so the question is, are you going to stick with it? You continue to shoot the threes.
And so that's the conversation they're going to have.
Right.
But what about a certain center in Milwaukee with a sense of wanderlust potentially? I mean,
so
right? I mean, but at the end of the day, the threes didn't go in and Embiid was unguardable because they didn't have somebody to guard him.
Right.
And thus, we're now talking about the Celtics game planning for future seasons.
Okay, so the thing about whenever people talk about Giannis, like, for example, Masai Ujiri was just hired as the president of the Mavericks yesterday. Mm-hmm. And people were like, you know, Masai tried to get Giannis in Toronto. They have connections. They have African roots that are important to them. People have said, well, Masai tried to trade for Giannis. That doesn't make sense to me. The Bucks are the future of the Mavericks is a 19-year-old. You're not trading for a 31-year-old. And I see other teams like this too that are like, you know, like Houston, for example. Well, I know Durant's older, but their whole core is younger. It doesn't make sense to put a guy in his 30s. Boston's a different story. The window with Tatum and Brown is comparable, I think, to the window with Giannis. I think, you know, you never know, but you could sell yourself on that. So you're going to ask yourself, and even if it's not Giannis, the question is, do you break up Brown and Tatum for a different pairing? Because if you're still going to shoot the three, you're not trading for Giannis. The guy doesn't shoot threes. If you believe in your 40%, you're going to accept your 40%. You're going to shoot the three next year. You're not trading for Giannis. Mm-hmm. You're more likely to trade for Embiid, which you wouldn't do. I'm just saying, like, understood. Embiid shoots threes. Mm-hmm. So are they continuing to shoot the three? If the answer is yes, I think Derek White, Tatum, and Brown staying together. If the answer is anything but yes, if it's maybe or we'll see or let's think about it, that's because the thing about it is you have to understand when it comes to the Bucks, they don't control their draft for like the next 4 years. When I say they don't control, they've either traded the pick or they've traded the swap. So a Giannis trade can't bring back a rebuild. And not only that, but they're about to flatten the lottery odds so that if you get in the relegation zone, you may not get a top pick. In fact, you may end up with the 10th pick if you have the worst record under the new proposal. So if you're going to trade, make a deal to Milwaukee, like that's what happened. Like Golden State at the trade deadline said, hey, we're going to trade you four firsts. Like we don't control our draft the next 4 years. That's Draymond Green and four first round picks does not help us next year when we don't control our pick. So if it's a real player, like one of the Celtics, I'm not going to get aggregated or whatever. Like that's So what you're asking is not unreasonable, but I don't have the clarity in how the Celtics are thinking about it.
Well, I mean, if you say, I think you don't have the clarity of it because you're an information man and you're a lead pipe wielding professional. But picking up what you said here, if you've got a coach in Joe Mazzulla, who damn well could be coach of the year based on what happened.
I voted for him for coach of the year.
Makes sense. And he's, what you said, defiant is what you said?
I mean, or, like he's like you say, Joe, why did you shoot 56 threes? And he said, we should have shot 57.
So don't you have your answer?
Right. Well, certainly and the you way
also
he
have,
plays.
And you also have the guys who can do it. When it goes in, it's
as which said, is Lord, why
Peyton if Pritchard, you know, he just probably woke up this morning shooting.
Which is why, know? If you ask me what I think they're running it back. With obviously, they got to get a big men.
Who would that person be then if it's not Giannis? Like, who might be in markets, right, for that sort of thing?
Well, they tore their team. They didn't think they didn't know what they're going to have Tatum, and they didn't want to pay the luxury tax. They tore their team down. They traded Porzingis. They let Al Horford walk, what have you.
Right.
They had to build. They'd have to go get some big men to build their team back up. And,
right.
But, I mean, really what you're asking is, are Tatum, Brown, and White staying together?
Right.
I would wager on it staying together, but I don't think it's a no-brainer. I think it comes down to whether or not you want to continue to play the same style of basketball.
Okay. And then the coaching searches are on, obviously, in Milwaukee and Orlando. Well,
Milwaukee named Taylor Jenkins.
Okay, right. There you go, right, obviously. What about Kerr? What's Steve Kerr's?
We're waiting. And, I mean, that's literally legit. Like, people are waiting. Like, they're having conversations. The thing I'd say about Steve Kerr is it's not just an emotional decision. Emotions are a part of it.
Right.
Do you want to go through the grind again? He was being paid $17 million last year. That was a salary that he was given when the Warriors were competing for championships. I'm not sure. The answer could be yes. I'm not sure that the Warriors ownership wants to have a $17 million coach with their current situation. So is money 25% of it? Is it 51%? Is it 5%? Money is a factor. The key here is there wasn't a contract sitting on the table. And it was like Steve had to just go sign it and then, you know, send it in. Mm-hmm. They had to have material discussions about how they're going to play, what his money is, all that stuff. So that's why this is a bit of a process. But they're having the process. It's not, you know, they're still talking.
You're the actions guy right here.
So if Kerr just wanted to go play golf, then he would be playing golf. He's you know, he's in San Francisco, as far as I know, discussing this.
Well, the other stuff, does it include the management doesn't like him talking about real life stuff and politics?
You know,
and gun violence and things that are very important to him and his voice is very important for. I mean, is that real?
Are there times when management probably is like, Steve, we got a game against Salt Lake or against Utah tonight. Let's,
right.
Probably. But I think very clearly they have supported Steve Kerr for a decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my boss gets mad at me about certain things. My boss is like, why did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I having to deal with that? But on balance, they want to keep me around for now. You know, tomorrow it happens. But someday they won't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't think that's a centerpiece of this discussion.
Okay,
I think.
Okay,
are you going to run the same offense? Are you willing to hire this person? Will you coach for X, not 17 million?
Right.
These are higher on the list than what he might say after a shooting somewhere.
Okay. Well, I said you'd be out by 40 after the hour. Look at that time. Look at us.
God, what a professional.
You know what I'm saying? With seconds to spare.
Yeah.
Have a great broadcast, sir.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
You bet. And it's just great having you here, dude.
Yeah.
So
thank you. Always love it.
I love it as well. That's and we changed our background for you. No, we didn't. Just kidding. Only you could do that when you zoom in.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
I was like, boy, that's joking over my head.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
By the way, you can't wind up in the relegation zone. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I'm a Tottenham fan. You don't follow it at all.
I do.
That means nothing to you.
I do. I know.
It's not looking good.
Yeah.
They
just won the last 2 weeks. They won their first two matches since December.
Right.
And they moved from 18, which is relegation,
to
17 by a single point. And there's three matches left.
How can Tottenham be relegated?
Tottenham getting relegated would be like
massive.
The Jets getting relegated.
I understand that.
Which,
it's not a shocker.
Let's have a discussion.
I understand that. Well, to use the Patino parlance, Harry Kane's not walking through that door.
He walked out that door, and trust me, a good decision.
Right there. There's the relegation
zone. Oh, my
zone.
Gosh.
Send
I'm
that
so
to
excited.
The NBA, please. Tell him. And my compliments to the chef of that creation. That's impressive. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. Check him out on the NBA Today later today on ESPN. We're back with your phone calls in a moment right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Save $2 when you buy two cans of Superior Products Coverall Tire Dressing. Plus, receive 4x O Rewards points now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Coverall delivers long-lasting shine. Visit your O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
We have the new drop?
Oh, yeah.
Let me hear it again.
If everything was different, it would have been different.
Okay.
Wemby.
I kind of dig that.
What's up, Trevor?
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He's just driving the kids to soccer practice. That's a hero. Making every day feeling epic in the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. You can get up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids, gear, snacks, backpacks, space matters, so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call this number, 562-314-4603, for details. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Al in Dallas back on the program. What's up, Al? How are you?
Al, what up, man?
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Hey,
TJ.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you think it's a little tad ridiculous, Brockman making comments about, the Mets won? I mean, is this guy out of his mind?
I mean, that's why I pointed out, Al,
they're one game better than this. So it was a
little, oh, I heard. Believe me, I heard it all. I mean,
four World Series since the last time you won one, and we're ahead of you in the standings this year. I'll talk as much as I want.
We don't care about your four World Series. That's not what this is about. This is about this week today.
We'll have a little side action on the season then, because I've had it with you and this Red Sox.
Side action.
We won four World Series.
Side action's been called.
What the heck's that got to do with?
You got my number.
Side action.
Exactly. Side action. It's ridiculous. Hey, Richard, another thing. Have you ever seen the guys jumping off the Nick bandwagon? And I might have been one of them about a week ago. Jump right back in the boat. Has this been unbelievable?
Hey,
like 4-game stretch.
Cooper, my youngest son, said to me after like the game one Knicks loss, or they lost game one, then they won game two. And it was after game two. He goes, "So do you like Mike Brown again?" And I'm like, "I said, ask me again in about 2 weeks."
I mean, that's pretty funny.
That's what he said. I said, "Ask me again in 2 weeks," which was, by the way, that's an old Tony La Russa line. Whenever I would cover a game that he was managing, I would say, "How you doing, Tony?" Just as a, you know, just a human to human hello. Yeah. How you doing, Tony? He would say, "Ask me in 9 innings." That's what he would say. And so I said, "Ask me again in 2 weeks." And so last night when I saw him, I'm like, I kind of like Mike Brown, man. It's working. I don't know what's going to happen from here on out, but it feels really good, Al. That's for
sure. They are deep. I will say, you know, we all love Tibbs, right? So that's not a
– yes.
You know, I don't know anybody. I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about Tibbs except for the one part, of course, that Brockman brought up, that he only plays 6 players and he didn't do well playing bench players. But their bench – I mean, the Alvarado kid, yeah. I mean, there are so Clarkson. Many guys playing well on this team. It is just, it's amazing. Now, it would be great if they put a beat down on the Sixers in game two, just for the mental psyche, because you know how all crazy we are. It would be fantastic. And I would be remiss not to, say RIP to John Sterling. As much of a Yankee hater as I am and a Met fan that I am growing up in that area, the guy was extremely entertaining and extremely professional on all the shows. Been on all these shows, and he was a great guy. It was sad to see him pass.
I think wasn't he a sports talk radio host on WOR, which was the Mets radio station?
Yeah, I mean,
years ago.
I mean, he was amazing. Susan Waltman was his update guy on one of those programs.
Right.
I don't know if it was WOR. I mean, it's amazing, and you know, that's listen. We're all going to go eventually, right? But, hey, when the great ones go, and he was great, love him or hate him, he was great.
Hey.
It was sad.
Real classy of you, Al, and speaking on behalf of all Yankee fans and that, I just have to follow up by asking you, how about those Mets?
Hey, listen.
Bring you right back down, man.
One pitch, one inning, one game. Ask me in 9 innings.
Okay, there we go. As long as Luke Weaver doesn't pitch or Devin Williams doesn't pitch,
God, they stink. Don't they stink?
Hey,
don't
you
they
took really them. Stink? You it's took them because they were the Yankees in a Mets town.
Stink on ice.
How would you do such a thing?
Oh, you'll never let me forget that comment, will you, Richard?
No. He's going to beat that to death and then resurrect it and then beat it to death again.
I'm not beating anything. I'm just talking about the type of town New York City apparently is. I don't understand why you keep on pointing out.
Oh, you don't get
else.
It? Okay.
Thank you, Al.
Okay.
Ladies
Fair
and gentlemen,
enough.
Alan Dowell.
All right, Al.
Can I ask you a question about Knicks fans in general? Why do after every win they act like absolute lunatics outside the MSG?
It's crazy.
I saw a video last night. They ripped a maxi jersey off a Sixer fan.
It's
to quote Billy Madison,
right.
That's assault, brother. What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't get it. Because it's not that way after a Yankee game. You tell me it's a Mets town. Is it that way after a Mets game?
We are civilized metropolitans.
I don't think it's that way after a Ranger game. It's insane. No.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
Calm down.
I agree with you. And if I didn't see that video, they ripped the jersey off.
Yeah, there was some dude wearing a maxi jersey just walking through. Everyone's just like flipping him off behind, and then ripped the jersey.
That's not
off
right.
Of him.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, we Dolan should have facial recognition outside his arenas.
I'm sure he does.
Maybe he
probably
does. So
I don't know. I just was asking, why do they do that?
God forbid they actually win something that matters.
Right. Imagine if they actually make the finals.
Oh, I know.
Win a finals game.
I know. Winning it all would be insane.
Tear New York up.
Tone it down.
Certainly in a town where you're just only rooting for one baseball team, it's a pretty diehard basketball fan base.
Again,
those Mets.
Beat to death. They're terrible. Resurrect. No? Beat the death.
That's fun.
It's funny.
It's fun. I kind of dig it.
I'm going to start calling you the Lady Melisandre.
Kind of funny.
Melisandre.
Kind of funny. You know what? The series is it's facial recognition versus geotagging. Facial recognition's up 1-0 over geotag.
Am I
wrong?
I am very curious to see what the crowd is going to be like on Friday. Because y'all are coming down the train.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's gonna
geotagging is only going to go so far.
I mean, you heard what it was like when Celtics fans took over that arena, and they had to travel further.
I'm watching the video of J.R. Smith, former Knick, just get slammed by the crowd, man. They're, like, attacking him, but they're not attacking him. But he rounds up on the ground. Like,
yeah.
And he's a former Knick.
Woo. Yeah, fans got to chill.
They won't. It's only with every dub.
It's only
going to
get worse. It's only going to get worse. Yeah. I feel like.
But, for the love of Chalamet, don't do it.
Chalamet's out here too.
He was at the game.
I'm Shabuzi. Sure he's going everywhere. He's a real Knick fan.
Kylie, Met Gala, Chalamet, courtside.
Is that what happened last night?
Yeah. And Stiller skipped the game altogether.
For what?
Yeah.
For the Met Gala.
Did he really?
Yeah.
But you see, he got to the top of the steps and he went like this to a camera.
He was like
Knick 6.
Okay.
Next sweep at this point.
Man. Okay. I see you. Do we have, I think we've got we'll finish up in hour three. I think we got some sports Met Gala photos.
Oh, yeah. There were some peeps there. Yeah.
Even though that Met Gala is off the charts absurd at this point.
Yeah, it's like that every year.
Well, the comedian Corey B is going to be joining us in hour number three of this program with a lot of fun still ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.